We started talking about Sunday morning about the wilderness season. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes writes that to everything there is a season. Everybody say a season. And a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season, and there is a time for every purpose under heaven. And we were talking about the simplicity of the farmer, and how that a farmer understands and knows and appreciates every season that God has given. And we talked about how that if there's ever going to be a harvest for a farmer, there's going to have to be a culmination of all of the seasons working together to bring forth that harvest. You know, the Bible says that from the beginning, there's been seed time and harvest. And so many times in the church, we teach seed time and harvest, but we don't talk about the process in between. And it's in the process in between so many times as believers that we lose our harvest. Because as I told you Sunday morning, see, every promise that God has given us as His children is actually an invitation. Everybody say invitation. You ever got an invitation? It's great to get an invitation, but how many of you know if you don't respond to the invitation and get up and go, how many of you know you're not going to get the benefits of the invitation? Every promise that God has given us is an invitation to a process. We will never receive the promises of God in our life unless we're willing to respond to the invitation to the process. And there is seed time and there is harvest, but there are seasons that go between seed time and harvest. And many times we don't ever gain a harvest in an area of our life because we get stuck in a season. And what I feel like what the Lord wants to tell you tonight is this. God wants you to get unstuck. It's time to get unstuck. Do not be stuck in a season. Many times we're frustrated at God and we don't know what's going on. And we can't understand why this thing hasn't changed or why this thing hasn't moved. And the reason is because we're stuck in a season. See, seasons are not supposed to last forever. Seasons are supposed to last for a period of time. And at the end of that period of time, you're supposed to move into another season. But God wants you to know that if you're not moving into another season, it may be because you're stuck in a season. And we've got to learn how to embrace every season. As we talked about on Sunday morning, a farmer knows that if he's ever going to receive a harvest from a crop, that there's different seasons that he's got to walk through. And when he walks out to his land and he sees all these trees and all this brush, and he can see the fact that he wants to grow some corn, he knows that there are some seasons that he's going to have to walk through. There's going to have to be seasons of preparation where he begins to cut down the trees and bring up the stumps and get the roots out of the way and begin to prepare the ground. How many know there are seasons of preparation in our lives? If God's going to do something in us, He's got to do something to us. And so there's got to be seasons of preparation. Then there's got to be seasons of planting. Then seasons of watering and cultivating and tending. And that's when you plant a seed and it goes in the ground. A farmer don't go out and plant a seed in the ground and then come out the next morning and go, well, I just can't understand this. I planted my seed and there is no harvest yet. I just don't understand that. Because a farmer understands and knows that there is a time and there is a season for every purpose. And he knows that if he's going to put a kernel of grain in the ground, that thing has to go through a process while it's in the ground. And every farmer has to be a person of faith. Because they have to know and they have to believe in the process. That if I put the seed in the ground and I do what I can do, then that somebody, a higher power, they may not be a believer, something, the laws of nature, something's got to take hold and begin to do to that seed what I can't do to it. And it's got to begin to germinate. And it's got to begin to break forth out of that seed and begin to push that immense amount of dirt and pressure off before it could ever break through. And while that's happening, there has to be faith. There has to be faith that seed that has gone in the ground, I know it has the potential to produce a harvest, but there are going to be seasons that I have planted that I do not see a harvest. And as believers, if we walk around thinking and believing that we should be reaping a harvest all the time in our life, and we should always be in a harvest season, and we should always be walking around with big bushel baskets full of harvest in our life, how many of you know that that's not practical? We just got to look around and see. We got to understand that there are seasons and that every season has a purpose, the writer of Ecclesiastes says. And every season is just as important as the next season. How many know seasons of planting are just as important as seasons of reaping? Seasons of preparation are just as important as seasons of cultivating. They all have a purpose that another season cannot produce. And if we don't understand the seasons that God has in our life, then we can get stuck in a season because we're not participating in a season. How many know it's not a good thing to go out and plant a seed in the wintertime? That's not the time to be planting a seed. And we have to understand the seasons. And I just believe that God wants to help us. First off tonight is God wants to help us understand and acknowledge maybe the season that we're in. You know, the Bible says that we perish many times for lack of knowledge. And many times we're frustrated and we're not doing the things that we need to be doing because we just don't understand. How many believe the Holy Spirit can bring enlightenment to us? He can help us see what we need to be doing. How many know we can trust the voice of the Holy Spirit? If we'll get before the voice of the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, where am I? What do I need to be doing? And the Holy Spirit will be faithful to us. But one thing for sure I want to get across, if I don't get anything else across, and that is we got to learn to embrace the season that we're in. We got to find the joy in every season. I got to find the joy in the preparation season. Because I know it's not going to be a time to plant unless I prepare. I got to find the joy in the season of planting because I know that there'll never be a harvest if I don't begin to plant seed in the ground. I've got to find the joy in the season of waiting because I know when I'm waiting, there are things that are happening that are beyond my control, that there are powers at work for me. The Spirit of God is working for me and He's doing things and He's allowing my faith to grow. I've got to find the joy in every season. The psalmist said it like this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody say all times. That means in the season of preparation. That means in the season of planting. That means in the season of waiting, the season of cultivating, the season of maturing, the season of harvest, and the season of starting all over again. We have to learn how to be a people that will say, I will bless the Lord at all times and in every season. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And for some of us here tonight, that's a word from God. He told me that when I was over there. And that is this, that praise is your key. Praise is your key to unlock your season that you're in. If you've been stuck in a season and you haven't been able to see that season change, what God is saying is you got to find your key in finding your praise. Listen to what was written in the book of. That's where I missed the headset mic, right? In the book of Habakkuk, listen to what he writes. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food. How many know that this is not a harvest season, right? This is not a, well, how's things going, brother? Oh, great. Then, you know, the berries are on the tree and the olive tree is producing and the fields are, everything in my life is just rosy. How many know that is not always where we're at in life? We're not always there because we are people that trust God. And we are people that understand that every promise God gives us is an invitation to a process. To walk through the seasons of going from seed time to harvest. And we know how to have a praise on our lips. And we, like Jesus, could say this, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. That I can embrace the season and I can find joy in this season. I was with a family today in Little Rock and they were laying to rest. She was laying to rest her husband. But she had a joy in this season of grief and it was a supernatural joy because she had the word of the Lord on her situation. How many of you know no matter what season we're in, if we're connected to God and we have His word on our situation, we can be in joy because we see beyond the moment. We understand things other people don't understand. We know that our God is working no matter what it looks like. We know that there are more that are for us than there are that are against us. And we know that even though it may not look good, but with God, all things are good. All things are good. And so we got to find a praise in our mouth. And so this is what he says. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and though the fields yield no food. This is in Habakkuk 3:17. You probably know the scripture. It says this, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. I think he ran out of things, bad news to write about. He finally just stopped. He said this, yet, everybody say yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. in this season where it's not fruitful, in this season where the harvest is not coming forth, in this season where I can't see any fruit, in this season where I've put the seed in the ground and I've taken God at His word, but yet I'm not seeing any product or produce from it, yet I will praise Him. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will stand up because you know what? I know that harvest time is just around the corner. And I know that when I put my seed in the ground and I stand over my seed and I believe God over my seed, that God can never fail, that His word never returns void, but it always accomplishes what He sends it forth to do. So I can rejoice in the barren season because I know the barren season is only for a season. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation because the Lord God is my strength. My strength don't come from the harvest. My strength don't come from the external. My strength comes from the Lord. My joy is not tied up in my harvest. My joy is not tied up in what's going on externally. My joy is tied up in the Spirit of God. So whether I'm out there grinding stumps and preparing the soil, I can be in joy and I can let a joy be on, a praise be on my lips. Or if I'm out there and I'm planting seeds, I can rejoice in the Lord. But whatever season you find yourself in, we've got to find a praise on our lips and joy in our heart. We've got to be able to find the joy in every season. Because every promise God has given us is an invitation to a process. And so specifically Sunday morning, we were dealing with one of those seasons that comes around in our lives that we don't like. You know, we get excited about the promise, right? Man, when God, and we can even be in a hard situation, but when we get the seed, Bible says God gives seed to the sower, right? When He gives us seed, whoa, I've got seed. I've got a promise in my hand. We get excited about the promise. And when we put that promise in the ground, then we don't get so excited about between that time and when that thing is going to produce. But do you know that's where it's all at? Really, that's where it's all at. It's in the process. It's in the believing. It's in the trusting. The scripture that says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, what's it going to do? It's all it's going to ever be is that one seed. But if it falls into the ground and dies, if it goes there underneath, it goes into the barren season, the Bible says that it's going to germinate. And what's it going to do? It's going to produce much fruit. Listen to what this version of that verse says. It says, truly I say to you, if a seed of grain does not go into the earth and come to an end. You know what we got to do? We got to take that seed. We got to take that promise and we got to plant it by faith. And for all natural circumstances, as far as what we can see and touch and smell and feel and taste and all that, guess what? All that's got to come to an end. That's the process. Unless it comes to an end, it is still a seed and no more. But through its death, everybody say, through its death, it gives much fruit. So through its death, it gives much fruit. And so the season specifically, I've got about 17 minutes. The season that I want to encourage you about tonight, and we started on a Sunday morning, was the wilderness season, which I would really equate to being the winter season. When you look at the Word of God, you see any man or woman of faith that ever went from the place of promise into the place of fulfillment in their life, they had to go through a wilderness season. God anointed David king of Israel. He said, I anoint you king of Israel. Here's the promise. Here's the seed. But how many of you know that he didn't ascend to the throne the next day? He didn't see the fruit of that harvest. He had to go through a what? Everybody say a process. He had to go through a wilderness season. Where'd he go? He got anointed by Samuel. And where did he get sent? Back out into the wilderness, back out into the pasture where God began to do something in his life. And it was in that season that God did in him what was necessary so that he wasn't just anointed king, but he became kingly in character. Joseph was given a dream. He was given a promise that you're going to be a ruler and people are going to bow down to you. But in the meantime, he wound up not in the palace, but in a pit. And from a pit, he went to be a slave. And from a slave, he went to a prison. How many of you say in all of that, that was a process? That was a wilderness season. And we can lose it. We often lose it in the wilderness season. The wilderness season is a season of life that is between seed time and harvest. And the wilderness season is necessary because God has to do some things in us before he can do some things through us. And if we're not willing to allow him to do some things in us, then guess what? He's not going to be able to do anything through us. I said this Sunday morning, I'll say it again. God will never take us. God will never take us where our character can't sustain us. See, God is more interested in the heart than he is our hands. He's more interested in who we are than what we do. And we put all the emphasis on what we do out here as a measurement of our success. And God says, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. Because understand this, that God is all about preparing the foundation in our lives. And we say, God, heal my marriage. God, heal my marriage. So what if God showed up today and he waved a magic wand or whatever he does? I'm not making light of what he does, but you get what I'm saying. And instantaneously, everything was right in our marriage, but I hadn't changed on the inside. Guess how long it would be before it'd be in a mess again? Right? It don't work that way. God knows that in order for things to change in our life, we've got to change. And see, it's in the, he saw the potential in Joseph. He saw the potential in David, but he also knew that there had to be a process that they were willing to walk through in their life if they were ever going to arrive at the determined, designed destination that God had for them. We lose it in the wilderness season so many times because we're not willing to participate with what it is that God wants to do. Real quickly, there were 6 points in your notes. Let me just hit on them real quick. The first one was this. We need the wilderness season in our lives, because the wilderness season is number one. The wilderness season is the season where God is going to prepare us. The wilderness is a place of preparation. And I gave you 3 reasons where the wilderness was a place of preparation. And I read for you, let me just quickly touch this, and then I'm going to read you the other 5 points and make a couple of points. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we were looking at the children of Israel. God delivered them out of Egypt and wanted to bring them into their promised land. But the scripture says that God led them through where? The wilderness. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, it says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised as an oath to your forefathers. All of us should take that verse right there and memorize that verse and get that into our spirit, because it says this. You know, so many times we get hung up on what God's asking us to do. God only asks us to do things that are going to benefit us. He says, obey me so that you may live and so that you may multiply. God only wants what's best for us. But then he goes on to say, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. The Lord led them into the wilderness these 40 years to humble you. Everybody say humble you. Some of us need to be humbled, especially those of us who don't think we need to be humbled. If we don't think we need to be humbled, how many know we need to be humbled? To humble us continually. We need to humble ourselves daily. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. So the first thing that God does in the wilderness is this, is he tests us. And he allows us to go through testing in our life. Anybody been in a test this week? All the students are out of here. Any adults faced any tests this week? Tested your patience, tested your compassion, tested your love, tested your faith. You know what I'm talking about. He tests us not so he can find out what's in our heart. How many of you know God already knows what's in our heart? He tests us so that we can know what's in our heart. Because when we get squeezed like the toothpaste, what's on the inside is going to come out. And we may say and we may think we are the most loving person in all of El Dorado, but when we get squeezed by that person at the red light, we're going to see what comes out. He allows us to go through testing. Joseph was thrown into the pit. What was in him? What was in him? The ability to forgive, the ability to love, the ability to not let himself move into bitterness when he was done wrong unjustly. Listen, if he couldn't do it with his brothers, he wasn't going to be able to handle it in Potiphar's house. See, he tests us. That's one of the things. The next thing that God does in the wilderness, and he tests us so that we can make a grade, right? So that I see where I'm at. And when I see where I'm at, how many of you know it's good to be honest with ourselves? I didn't do so well there, Lord. Forgive me. But God, I need to grow in that area of my life. I embrace this season because you're testing me and you're showing me things that need to grow. Secondly, it says in verse 3 and 4, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which you neither you or your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. There's some things that we need to learn. There's some things that we don't know. There's some things that we think we know, that we think we've got down, but we really don't have down. And he said, look, I brought you into the wilderness where there was no Brookshire's, there was no Walmart, there was none of these things that you were used to. And the only way you were going to eat is if I provided for you. And let me tell you, you've never known me as your provider the way you're going to learn to know me as your provider while you're in the wilderness. I would never know God as my healer had I not walked through seasons of sickness where I had to believe him to heal me. I would never know him truly as my deliverer unless I walked through something where I was in bondage and I experienced his delivering power in my life. See, it's in the wilderness season that God brings things to the fore so that he can show himself and teach us and make himself known. And then thirdly was in verse 5 and 6, it says, know then that in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so your Lord, your God, disciplines you. Everybody say, I'm glad I have a heavenly Father who does not spare the rod. Are you really glad about that? Listen, the way, you know what his rod is? His rod is his word. His rod is his spirit. God is not into punishment. He's into correction. How many know there's a difference? There's a difference. See, punishment is retribution. God's not up there with a big stick waiting to whack us on the head. But there are things in our life that he knows needs to change. That's called correction, which is really direction. Everybody say direction. Anybody need the direction of God in your life? Anybody ever been off course and you needed the Holy Spirit to correct you and redirect you in your life? Can you say amen? It's in the wilderness season that things get exposed in our life. It's like, God, I've planted, and God, I'm waiting, God, and I'm believing, and God's showing us, here's an area of your life that needs to be whittled off a little bit. Here's an area of your life that needs to be molded a little bit by my Holy Spirit. It's a time of preparation, the wilderness season. Number two, real quickly, in your notes. And let me just say this. How long we're in the wilderness season has a lot to do with our response. Do you understand what I'm saying? The children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. It was an 11 days journey by foot. And how many of you know it took them 40 years to get there? See, our willingness to participate with the Holy Spirit and our willingness to open our heart to the Lord and to learn what he's trying to teach us and to cooperate when he corrects us and to pass the test that he's given us have a lot to do with how long our season will last. Some of us are still in the same season that we have been in this wilderness season in our life. We just given up on God. Well, I guess God just didn't want to bring me into the promised land. Was that the case with the children of Israel? Was it God's fault that they didn't move into the promised land? God had made a way and God had equipped them and it had been God's promise over their life, but they did not participate with the hand of God. Listen, I don't think we can shorten any season beyond what God has prepared for us, but I do think that we can lengthen seasons for sure in our life. How many of you want to say to God, God, do what you need to do in me and do it quick? God, do what you need to do and do it quick. Spin that potter's wheel. Dig in your hands. Do what you need to do in my life and do it quick. God, I want you to make me into the vessel that you need for me to be. Number two, the wilderness season is a place, often a place of isolation. And I'm just going to mention a couple of things here. See, it's in the wilderness that you often find yourself alone. It's in the wilderness season that God strips away all of the things that we have become so dependent on. It's the crutches and the props and the people and all the things that we want to run to fill that void in our life. And as long as we're filling that void in our life with anything but the presence of God, how many of you know? Moses said this, God, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go to the promised land. See, God understands that at our core and in our innermost being that we have to trust him and him alone. See, it's in the place of isolation that we begin to think things like this. Well, I guess time's just passing me by. Nobody's going to recognize my gifting. Well, I guess my time has passed and all these kinds of things. And we're thinking maybe it's someone in our life that we truly were connected with. And that person is now gone. And what God is saying in that season is this, is don't find another person to fill that person's shoes. Let me fill that person's shoes. See, don't be afraid of isolation. David embraced isolation. It was in the wilderness that he learned to worship. It was in the wilderness that he learned to war. It was in the wilderness that he learned to stand on his own two feet and encourage himself in the Lord. See, it's all right. I can say, God, I embrace this season. I may be alone, but you know what? I am not alone. My trust is in you, only in you. It can be a place of isolation. Number three, I got to keep moving. Number three, the wilderness is often a place of frustration. Everybody say frustration. Exodus 13:17 says this, that when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them. This is such an amazing passage to me. God, look up on the screen. God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Everybody say shorter. The preferred route, the way I would like to go, the way I think is best. God did not lead them on the road that was shorter to their destination. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. How many of you know God can see further than we can see? How many of you know God knows more than what we know? And God's not going to take us on the quickest route. He's going to take us on the necessary route. He's going to take us where we need to go. Do you trust that He will do that? And not question God and not wonder, well, why God didn't you do this? Every shortcut that we try to take in our life is going to wind up as a dead end. How many of you know that? Because if we ever come back to the place where we say, God, your will be done, your kingdom come, reset. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been there before? You've been off track and you say, okay, God, I've done it my way. Now I want to do it your way. Guess where we're going to go? Right back to where we got off track. Because God is going to take us on the route that is necessary, not the route that is easiest. But He's willing to take us on that route because He's working things in us. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? God will not build on a faulty foundation. God will not give me $1 million if I can't handle 100. You follow what I'm saying? God is willing to work with us. God's not going to give me the keys to the Escalade if I can't ride the tricycle. Everybody follow what I'm saying? See, we are reaching, you know, Joseph, God, give me the second in command of all of the world. It would have destroyed him and it would have destroyed people around him. He loves us too much to destroy us or to let our lives destroy somebody else. I mean, we can trust God. Hey, if you're in a wilderness season in your life and it's a barren time and you've been believing God for something for a period of time, what I want you to do tonight when you leave here is I want you to get excited. I want you to say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What have I been missing? God, I repent because I have not had a praise on my lips. God, I embrace this season. God, I embrace this season. God, I humble myself before you. Teach me, correct me. God, I thank you for this time of aloneness, because in this time of aloneness, I will not let the TV fill the void. I will not let my iPhone fill the void. I'm going to find myself in your presence. I'm going to find myself in your word, and I'm going to let you become something in my life you have never been, so that this season can be in my rearview mirror. Can you say amen? Number four, the wilderness is a place of confrontation. The wilderness is a place of confrontation. So many times there are things in our lives that we don't want to deal with or we don't see. But God says there are some things that we've got to face down in our lives if we're going to go into the next season. See, for Moses to go back to Egypt and be the deliverer of the children of Israel, there were some things that he had to face. There's two things majorly that we'll have to face in the wilderness season. Number one is ourselves. Everybody say myself. Usually we are major reason we have our own problems. Can you say amen? Moses had to confront his past failures. The wrong that he had done, the mistakes that he had made, the messes that he had made. How many of you know God wants us to be set free from our past? And it's not until we allow God to bring us to a place where we confront our past and it's under the blood and we take the steps that are necessary to put the past in the rearview mirror that we're not going to be able to move forward. So many times we can't go forward because we're tied to the past. So we got to confront our past. And number two, we've got to also confront our present fears. How many know Moses was scared? He didn't think he was up to the task. This is what he said. When God told him, you're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to speak on my behalf, Moses was like, I'm afraid. He was in the wilderness season to confront his past and his present. This is what Moses said. He said, but suppose they won't believe me. I want you to hear all these personal pronouns. Suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. I never have been. I'm not now. Even after you've spoken to me, I'm clumsy with words. And this is what God said. God just said plainly to him, Roger. He just said, who makes people's mouths? That's what God said. He said, Moses, face your fear. It's time to face your fear. It's time to quit living your life based on your present fears, what you're afraid of. You got to begin to live your life based upon faith and your trust in me. The other thing that we got to face, and I'm getting ready to close, or confront in the wilderness is this. We got to confront our enemy. Everybody say enemy. You know you got an enemy. You know you got an enemy. The Bible says in Matthew 4:1 that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. How many of you know that it's in the wilderness that we have to confront our enemy? See, to confront our enemy, we have to know who we are. To confront our enemy, we have to know the authority that we have as believers. See, we have to deal with me before I can deal with he. How many of you know that? Listen, if I don't know who I am in Christ, if I don't know the badge that I wear is backed up by the blood of Jesus, if I don't know that I have all of heaven standing behind me and I have the authority over every work of darkness, how many of you know I'll never be able to confront my enemy? See, God doesn't bring us into our wilderness so that we're overcome by our enemy, but so that we can overcome our enemy. How many of you know that Jesus faced down the enemy in the desert? How many of you know that he overcame the devil in the desert? And Jesus had private victories before he ever had public ministry. Let me say that. We will have to learn to have private victories before we have public victories. Listen, we want people to be able to see what God has done in our life. But David had to kill the bear, and he had to kill the lion. He had to learn how to operate the sling. He had private victories before he ever had a public ministry or public victory. See, in our lives, we got to be willing to learn to defeat the enemy in our own prayer closet, in our own marriages, over our own children, in our own households. And we begin to have private victories. There will come a day where we've had enough private victories where we'll have public victories in Jesus' name. Lastly, and I'm just going to mention it and we got to close. You can start me some music, Joe. You know, I can't close without a little music there. How many know the wilderness is not there to destroy us, but it's so that we can destroy our enemy? Well, number five is this. The wilderness is the place of communication. You can fill that in. Remember when Moses was in the wilderness, what happened? The bush lit on fire. He turned aside and God had something to say to him. Listen, if you're in a wilderness season in your life, God wants to speak to you. The amazing thing to me was this, that God told Moses, he said, take off your sandals. This wilderness is holy ground. Listen, this season is holy ground. This season is holy ground. Oh, it's barren. There's no figs and there's no blossoms in there. And God said this. He said, take off your shoes, Moses. This is holy ground. He says, this is where the work is being done. This is where the process is being manifested. This is where I want to do something deep on the inside of you, because if it's not done in you, it can never be done through you. And number six is this. The wilderness is a place of transformation. Everybody say, praise God. See, the wilderness wasn't intended to ruin us. It was intended to refine us. Say, refine me, Lord. Refine me, Lord. God didn't bring me into this season for this season to ruin me. He brought me into this season to refine me. He brought me into this season to make me into a vessel of honor fit for the Master's use. He brought me into this season so that he could teach me and he could correct me and he could isolate me and he could speak to me. And all the while that seed is under the ground and everybody's saying, God ain't doing nothing. I can't see anything with my eyes, but all the time I know it and I believe and I trust and I hold on to God, because God is working in my finances. God is working in my marriage. God is working in that child that's far from God. God is working over my giftings and callings. God is working in my destiny, and I can trust him that in this wilderness season, it's a time to rejoice, because he is transforming me. God is transforming me. God is stand to your feet. God is transforming me. God is transforming me. I just believe for some of you here tonight, what the Lord is saying is this, that you've got to find a praise. You got to find a praise in your season. You got to find a praise in your season. See, what happened to the children of Israel was this. They didn't guard their heart in the wilderness. They didn't guard their heart. They began to murmur and they began to complain and they began to grumble and they began to set their hearts hard against the Lord. And as they did that, what they began to do was they began to extend the wilderness season. Because all the time what God was saying was this, I want to soften your heart. I want to help you. I want to change you. I want to transform you. I want to bring you to a place of trust and know that I am your deliverer. If you will come close to me, if you will hear me, if you will walk with me, I will bring you out the other side into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. seed time and harvest. Yay. But the process in between, the wilderness season, everybody say, yay. It's a good season. It's a good season. It's a season of trust. It's a season of faith. Don't lose it in the wilderness season. Don't give up in the wilderness season. Don't turn back in the wilderness season. Don't shortcut the wilderness season. Because God is working. God is working. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Oh, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. I pray He's speaking something into your heart tonight. But I believe that He's saying that we got to embrace the season that we're in. God, we repent, God, of grumbling and complaining. And we repent, God, of questioning and doubting the season that You have us in. God, we want to be a people that trust You. God, that trust You. Though the fig tree failed to blossom, there's no fruit on the vine. There's no cattle in the stalls. God, we say we trust You, oh God. We trust You, oh God. Anything in us that needs to move, anything in us that needs to change. God, anything in us, God, that You need to transform, God, we say we are willing. God, we want to be a people, God, who embrace every season in our life, that cooperate with the Holy Spirit in every season of our life. God, we don't want to be people that are excited and joyful, God, when it's harvest time, and then we're in the mully grubs, God, when we're going through the wilderness season. God, we're a people that are mature in God. We're a people that understand the seasons, God. We're a people that understand Your processes, God, and we choose to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will myself to rejoice. I will rejoice. I will myself. You've given me a free will. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice myself right into the harvest season in Jesus' name.